Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim Green speaking. I trust you're ready to study with me today because we've got some very interesting subjects to talk about, some scriptures here. And our subject and our text has been, can a born-again Christian have a demon? And of course, man in all of his reasonings says no, but the scripture absolutely says yes. So let's look at some of the things that the pros and cons of this subject. And I've been on this subject for a couple weeks now already, and also about a month ago I taught on the same thing, pretty much the same thing, but because of such response and interest and controversy, God has impressed me to teach this again and bring it out one more time because, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we must hear the Word of God. We must listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. And finally, it'll be quickened to us. That's what it's saying, rather than what we assume it's saying. The last broadcast, we went to 2 Corinthians, and let's turn there again today. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I want to just repeat some things that were said last broadcast for those of you new ones that may be listening in. And I just want to reiterate a little bit on that particular scripture. Then I'm going to go on a little bit more here. But first of all, let me read what I read last broadcast out of this tract that was sent to me, and it's written by Chuck Smith. And he's on KFI every day. He has a very large work down in Los Angeles area. And let me just read to you some things here that men are saying, supposed men that have the truth. Okay, let's look at what he says. The question has been forced upon us, can a born-again Christian be possessed by a demon? The answer, based on scriptures and logic, is unequivocally no. The proponents of this unscriptural doctrine has begun to use such terms as Christians being invaded by demons rather than demon-possessed. This is nothing more than word games and a smokescreen to try to hide the scriptural weakness of their position. They also present an illogical supposition that the demons can invade or control the mind or body, but not the spirit. God's word declares that the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and we are told to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are His. Also, in 2 Corinthians, the question is asked, okay, now this is what I broke through last broadcast, if those of you were tuned in, and I'll mention it again today. What communion has light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, and what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. He goes on to say, now to say that a Christian's body or mind can be possessed or invaded by demons is to contradict the word of God and declare that there is a communion of light and darkness, that God and Satan are dwelling together. Now let me stop there and just go back over this scripture again, and I will let you see how much in darkness and ignorance a lot of people are on this particular scripture. And I want to let you know that I was in darkness on this myself. I never disbelieved it, that a Christian could have a demon, but I never believed it either because I was never taught it. And therefore, we went along in our little charismatic circles trying to crucify the flesh. And you know what? A lot of us never got anything crucified. We still had problems. You know, we still had aches and pains in our bodies. And since God has brought me into this realm of deliverance, I have seen more results in people than I ever saw in my previous Christian walk. And let me tell you, we've been a lot of places and seen and done a lot of things for God. So let's go to 2 Corinthians and go back over this scripture, and then I'm going to take you into scriptures through the Bible, and I'm going to show you the opposite of what this man is saying. And of course, many other men are saying the same thing, and they've got a great influence on the masses today of the people. But let's look at the scripture again, okay? 2 Corinthians 6, I start in verse 14. I'm reading out of King James Bible. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, number one, I want you to notice again, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. Now, first he makes a statement. He says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, why is he saying this? Now, the second part of this. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? He is asking them a question. And what communion hath light with darkness? Another question. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Another question. Or what part hath he believeth with an infidel? Another question. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Another question. Now, he goes on to make another statement. For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now here, in verse 17, because of what he stated up here, He starts out with, wherefore, come out from among them. Now listen, it shows us very plain that the Corinthians, some of the Corinthian believers, he wasn't talking to the pagans, the Christian believers had problems with being unequally yoked with unbelievers. It may have been in marriages, which there probably was, may have been in relationships, friend relationships. But he is saying, come out from among them, which meant they was among them to start with, okay? God's people among the unbelievers, among the people of darkness or the kingdom of hell. Okay, now this is what he's saying. And be you separate. Now if they was separate to start with, Paul wouldn't say what communion has light with darkness. He's only asking a question there. He's not making a statement. And he says, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now listen, they were touching the unclean thing. A lot of them was in Christianity, and they was participating in a lot of pagan rituals. They was going probably to a lot of feasts that the pagans were having. They was eating things probably sacrificed unto idols. They was doing a lot of things that God's people shouldn't be doing. And you know what? We're doing it today. Now listen, if we're going to take this scripture and say that light and darkness cannot dwell together and put a period there, brother and sister, we had better examine our walk with God, and we'd better examine it close. Because how many Christians today do you find in the places of darkness? They go to church once a week, lift their little holy hands, and you find them out in the bars during the week. You find them out running the streets. You find them out listening to rock and roll music in the video arcades. You find them everywhere. And yet in those places of darkness, and if we took this scripture, if we said Paul was saying that light and darkness cannot dwell together, there would be no need for this, see? But he is asking a question here. So this whole track here, and many other men of God, things that I have read from them, they use this particular scripture. They are assuming that Paul is saying light and darkness cannot dwell together. This is what they're assuming it says. It doesn't say that now, does it? Now you need to get the tape that I taught last broadcast, because I went into this a little in detail, but I'm going to press on in today, and I'm going to take you through some scriptures, and I'm going to prove to you in the Word of God that light and darkness has always dwelt together. Always. It's all good and evil has always been side by side. And if we're going to say a Christian can't have a demon, we're going to say that Christian cannot be sick. We're going to say a Christian cannot ever go into where darkness is. Okay? Now listen, we can't make any allowances if they say this is so, if this is what the Scripture's saying. Okay? Now, let's go to Isaiah 45. And let's start with God. Everything started in God, didn't it? Let's just see what kind of principle God started out with here. Isaiah 45, verse 7, God says, I form the light and create darkness. Now, here we got light and darkness, okay? God created them both. Now, I've heard people say, well, God created light and Satan created darkness. It doesn't say that. You're assuming it says that because of your tradition. The Bible says God created darkness and he created light. God did it, not Satan. He goes on to say, I make peace and create evil. God created peace and he created evil. And man, again, in his tradition and ignorance, says Satan created evil. God created evil. It's written. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, let's go to Isaiah 54, 16. Now, I'm going to press right along, so you stay with me. He says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Now, who do you think the waster is? Well, I'll let you think about that. Who you think the waster is that God created? Did God create something evil? Oh, yes, God did. Did he create darkness? Oh, yes, he did. How can darkness dwell with God? Well, it's always dwelt side by side, but what Paul is saying here in Corinthians, that it shouldn't be that way. Now, keep that in mind. We are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're not to have demons in us, but we do have demons in us. We're not to sin, but we sin. We're not to be sick, but we get sick. This is all he's saying. Now, there must be a remedy for all this, right? Of course. Let's go on a little bit on some principles here. I'm going to break right through this lie that has been written that a Christian can't have a demon. It's a lie, and I'm going to break through it. I don't care who likes it, because the Bible says contrary to what's being written and taught today by some men of God. Now, let's talk about some men of God from the past ages, shall we? How about Noah, Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob? How about Israel, the tribes of Israel, and David? How about Jesus and the apostles? Did they walk this earth totally separated from darkness and from the heathen about them? Think about it. How about Daniel the prophet? Do you know that man was raised in a heathen atmosphere? When he was a child, he was brought captivity to Babylon, that city of confusion, that ungodly place, and he was raised in that place of captivity. Do you know that? That man of light dwelt in that dark realm most of his life. According to scriptures here, what they are assuming, the Bible says, light and darkness can't dwell together. So that means Daniel shouldn't have been in Babylon, right? It was God's will the man was in Babylon. He was there. We can't reject that. Now let's go to Job. How about good old Job? He was a man of God that walked with God. Now Job 1:6, let me read it to you. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, meaning adversary, came among them, or in the midst of them. Now here we got, during Job's day, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now maybe they was coming to worship God or do sacrifice. I really don't know what that is. But also Satan came along with them, in the midst of them. Now here we got some men of God, and we got the God of this world walking together, going the same place. I've just shown you a few little instances in the Bible here that totally goes through this doctrine that people has built up. The light and darkness can't dwell together. Let's go to Zechariah 3:1, shall we? I'm going to read it to you. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Here we have a high priest of the most holy God standing before the angel of the Lord. And you know who was standing right at his right hand? Good old Satan. That old God of this world, the old evil one, Mr. Darkness himself, standing right beside dwellings in the same atmosphere, in the same place. Now let me tell you, there was no communion between them because they was opposites. There was no fellowship because they was opposites, but they were dwelling together. And this is what I'm trying to break through this barrier with you. We are not supposed to have demons in us, but we have demons in us. It's a fact, see? But there's a remedy, and I'm going to talk about the remedy later on. Let's go talk about Adam, shall we? The first man. Now, I want you to know that Adam, well, let's go before Adam. Let's start talking here when God started creating the world that Adam was to live in. God created the world, or the earth. In Genesis 1:10, it says, he created the earth, and he saw that it was good. Then in verse 18, he created the light, and he saw that the light was good. How about that? And then he created Adam and put him in this beautiful Garden of Eden. And I want you to know that the Garden of Eden, folks, was just not a plot of real estate as man pictures it. It was just not a piece of ground in Palestine somewhere over there, you know, that had dust and dirt and trees. I'm not saying it wasn't that, but I'm saying that's not all it was. Adam was placed in a realm of life. He was placed in a dimension in the Spirit of God, a place of sinlessness. Praise God. A place of harmony and beauty, a place of dominion. Now, who do you think was in that place also? Don't tell me it was Satan. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The old serpent was right there in the garden also, that beautiful garden of light and of holiness and of bliss that God put Adam and Eve in. Oh, yeah, there was the old evil one in there too, the old ancient serpent. Satan himself was right there. Praise God. Think about it. There they were dwelling in this beautiful realm in the Spirit of God in a beautiful place, and there was Satan right along, dwelling right along with them, talking to them, communicating with them. You see how absurd some of these teachings are that we have believed for so long? And you know, Scripture just totally refutes everything that's been written about it. Just totally breaks right through that barrier. Now, how about the holy angels? How about the heavens? When God created the heavens and said they were good, do you know that God has beautiful angels in heaven? Oh, yes, he does. Multitudes of them. But you know what else is in the heavens? Guess what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Oh, don't tell me that God's angels and wicked angels dwell together. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's always been, people. It's always been evil and good, and darkness and light has always dwelt together, side by side, but there's no communication, there's no fellowship between them. You see, that just sounds awful to me. I just never have seen it like that. Well, let's just go on a little bit more, shall we? Let's just look some more in the Word. Let's just take the church. We are the church. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it says, we are set in heavenly places. Now, notice, it didn't say earthly places, did it? It's in heavenly places. Now, this is how Adam was. Adam was on a natural piece of real estate, but also he was in a heavenly dimension, a heavenly place with God. That's the realm of life that we like to talk about. That's the place of dominion. It wasn't that, you know, it was the ground he walked on that was so important. It was that realm in the spirit. And this is where the church today is sitting in. Through the birth of the church at Pentecost, when God set his spirit in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, we were placed in a heavenly dimension, in the spirit of God, in a realm of God, a place of life that we're supposed to live in. No longer are we supposed to live in a realm of darkness, of gloominess, and defeat, and death, and sickness, and sin. We are supposed to come out of that and come into this glorious light of God. We're supposed to dwell in that. People, what I'm telling you, we live in an ungodly, dark world. Now, how is this? I don't know how it is. It's just that way, isn't it? See, it would be silly for us to say, well, we are the light of the world, and then, you know, we're all separated away from everybody, and we got our own cloud we live on, and the sinners live down here on this dark world. No, it's not that way at all, is it? We live among the pagans. We live among the sinners. We live among the darkness of this world, but the Bible says we are the light of this world, dwelling in darkness. Think about it a minute. Think about it a minute. Now, if we was to take 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 and say that is absolutely a fact that light and darkness cannot dwell together, brother, we'd have to take out a lot of the Bible, wouldn't we? We'd have to discard a lot of it. Pardon me. Now, think about the church. God has said in the body of Christ, the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the precious Holy Ghost. He's given us the blood of Jesus, the baptism in water, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said in the church, ministry gifts and spiritual gifts for us to grow thereby. He's put in us righteousness, peace, joy of the Holy Ghost. But we are set among the ungodly. Think about it. And the Bible says in a couple places there, it says, you know, there's even spots in our feast or charity of love. Now, what spots doing in our charity and feast of love? Well, back in those days, it was ungodly men and unbelievers that came in the midst of God's people and fellowship with them, but they were not of them. But yet there they were, dwelling with them, fellowship with them. They was like spots in the feast of love. Okay, think about this. This is what happens. There was no fellowship between them, no communication, but they was dwelling together nonetheless, wasn't they? Of course. Okay, let's just take the church today. Back in Paul's day, in 1 Corinthians the 5th chapter, verse 13, they had a person in there that was doing evil among the righteous saints there, and he says, cast out the wicked person from among you. Cast him out. He turned one over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Think about it. There was fornication, incest reported among them. Now, don't tell me that was darkness dwelling along with the light. Yes, it was. It certainly was. But Paul said, cast out that wicked person. If you've got a demon dwelling in you, cast out that demon from among you. This is all it means. It says the truth shall make us free. Now, it didn't specify what truth would make us free. We just assume hearing the Word of God means we hear the truth that makes us free, right? We just assume it says that. It doesn't say that. That's a general statement. But if you go into other scriptures, it tells us, some other scriptures, it tells us what will make us free. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast out demons in my name. Be ye separate. Don't walk in the flesh. Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. You see, we must go to the Word of God. We can't just assume just reading the Bible or hearing the Bible will make us free, because if that was true, brother and sister, everybody that sits under hearing the Word of God would be free today. There would be no bondages. But church people are worse off than the sinners, for Pete's sake. They're worse off because they're hearing the truth and they're not walking in it, and they're going to be judged more harshly than the sinners that's never heard the truth. And I have met numerous Christians, and I am one myself, that has been vexed in their soul, has been tormented, has been harassed, has been hurt in my body. And you can't say that, you know, that nothing touched me because I'm a child of God. That is pure old foolishness. Praise God. Let me go on with this little track while I'm thinking about this. Here's what the man says. What about these experiences of Christians having demons cast out of them? What other voices that name themselves? The writing on the floor and the regulations. Now he says, I do not know. I am thankful that since I do not engage in these unscriptural practices, I do not have to explain them. Now listen to this. That is sad. A man of God Supposedly he's supposed to be a great teacher, teaching multitudes of people, and yet he said, I won't participate in unscriptural practices such as casting out demons. God help us, you know, to get a hold of ourselves. God help us to seek out the truth. That's why many people are not being set free, because many people don't want to deal with demons. I think they're afraid. I think they're ignorant. I think there's a lot of reasons why they don't want to do it. They'd rather promote their self, their kingdom, their name, their works, rather than deal with God's people that God has set under the leaders. We are going to be accountable. I don't care who we are. But you stick with me, I'm going to break through all these lies that's been written. And I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you liberation in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim it today that you are going to be made free by hearing the truth. Praise God. Now let's go on here. Jesus said in another portion of Scripture, have I not chosen you, and one of you is a devil? Now we know Judas Iscariot walked with the 11, supped with Jesus. They had, you know, they went places together, and he taught him and everything, but Judas Iscariot was a devil. The Bible says he was a devil. Not that he was Satan himself, but he had devils dwelling in him. He was an evil one, son of perdition. But yet they dwelt together, didn't they? They went places together. You see, there was no separation there. What I'm saying, they was bodily together, but in a spirit there was no communication between them, because Judas had an evil heart, and the other 11 didn't have an evil heart, per se, like he did. Now Jesus said again in John 17:15, and I like this scripture a lot. This just breaks right through the old pre-tribulation rapture theory. I just love it. He says, this is when Jesus was praying to the Father. He says, I pray that not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, e.g. rapture, but that there shouldest thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now people, this is what God is saying. God is not going to take us out of the world, because the world, we live in a world of darkness, don't we? Of course. But he says God wants to keep us from the evil. Okay, from the evil. So that means we're dwelling amongst evil. It didn't say we're all separated and evil's on one side of the world and we're on the other side of righteousness. No, we're dwelling together. We're living together. It's all around us. It's outside. It's inside. Praise God. Let me go a little bit here. I'm going a little fast now because I want to get some things in before I go off the air. Now, he goes on in some of the parables in Matthew 13 chapter. I'd like for you to read some of those, where he likens the kingdom of heaven. He says, like in Matthew 13:24 through 30, he says, he likens the kingdom of heaven like a field which has good seed, but an enemy has come and sowed weeds among the wheat. Now, you know what he says? He says, let both grow together until the harvest. He didn't say, I'm going to pluck up the old weeds right away and the tares, and I'm going to let just the wheat grow. No, he said, let them grow together, brother and sister. Satan was the one that planted the weeds and the tares. It wasn't God, but they were dwelling together and growing together until the end of the world, or the end of this age, when they're going to be plucked up. You see what I'm saying? This principle is throughout the Bible, that evil and good and darkness and light has always dwelt together, but there is no fellowship between them. One is right, one is false. But to say that a Christian can't have a demon is just, it's not even scriptural on that. Now how about the same chapter, verse 47 through 50, where he likens the kingdom of heaven like a net, which gathers fish of every kind. When full, men draw to a shore and sit down and start separating the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. Now, of course, again, the separating and the sorting comes at the end of the age. Notice, one net pulling in fish, they had good fish and bad fish in the same net. Together, mind you, together. How about the sheep and the goats? Don't we have sheep and goats living together today? Of course we do. How about good and evil dwelling together, see? We've got to look at this thing. Notice when he says in the Bible, he says it in the New Testament and he says in the Old Testament, he says, by his stripes we were healed, by his stripes we are healed. Now listen, according to this, I don't hear this taught too much. I don't rarely hear this taught at all. But here the Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. Why are we sick, people? How come we get afflicted? Why do Christians die of disease and cancer and heart attacks and all this stuff? What happens? If by his stripes we're healed, automatically we should be healed when we're saved. This is what they say about demons and Christians. They say, once you get saved, all demons left you, because light and darkness can't dwell together. I don't ever hear this scripture mentioned that we have afflictions, sickness, disease in the body. But yet it says, by his stripes we are healed, and we were healed. Okay, The way has been paved, the door opened, but now we must go and do other things like lay hands on the sick and pray over them and they shall recover. It's like lay hands on the demonized and cast out the demons. It's the same principle. Now, let's just get right on down home where we live. The Bible says in 1 John 2:1, it says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not." Oh no, he's surely not talking about Christians here. Oh yeah, he was. His little children in the faith. Now listen, if it was impossible for us to sin, have that thing within us that would cause us to sin, think about that a minute. What causes us to want to sin? It's something that starts on the inside and goes to the outside, don't it? Uh-huh. Well, there must be some kind of a darkness in us to cause us to sin, right? But according to many of these teachers, light and darkness cannot dwell together. Can a Christian sin? Let me ask you, can a Christian sin? Think about it. Do we have the Holy Ghost inside of us? Do we have the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in our bodies? And we're quickened by that same Spirit? Do we have those things? The Bible says we do. If we're truly born again, we have all these things. But we do get sick. Well, how come? If we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, how can we have disease in the same body? It's just like we can have the Holy Ghost and have a demon living in us. It's the same place. It's the same teaching. It's the same principle. But the remedy is cast out the demons in my name. Praise God. Well, my time is just about up today. If you've got any questions on this subject, write us. We've got tapes available. I've got over 200 messages on cassette tapes that I've taught in the past year here at this ministry. And I've got a lot of the old radio tapes available on this subject that we went through before. I've got testimonies. In fact, I was going to have testimonies this week. I said I was going to have live testimonies, but God has impressed on me to keep plowing through the Word, to keep pushing into it. And if you want to hear testimonies of Christians having demons cast out of them, write me and ask for the tape list, because on the tape list we have several that has been on in the past on the radio with me that has discussed this. And we work continually with people casting demons out of Christians, and I'm not crazy. I'll tell you, I've got a sound mind. I'm totally sane. But this happens. So just write us and ask for the track pack and ask us for the tape list, and then you can just pick out what you want. You know, I've got some good teaching. Some's a 60 minutes, some 90 minutes on some messages here. It's not all dealing with demons and Christians, by the way. We teach a whole lot on the end times, purposes of God, the army of the Lord, being a soldier, the new coming age, the man-child company, what making of a disciple and the making of a soldier. We teach on a lot of things. But right now, God has had us on this subject over the radio to break through this demonic wall, such as in this tract of unbelief, telling people they can't have a demon. Therefore, people walk around demonized, unable to cope with life, relying on the psychiatrist, psychologist, and pills to cope with their life. It shouldn't be that way. Darkness should not be there, folks, but it is. We need to cast it out. We need to cast out those things that's causing our problems. In the Bible, a lot of diseases in people's body was associated with demons. And I've cast out many demons of not only myself but other people that were sickness in our bodies. And they were nothing but spirits of infirmity. And when they came out, we were healed. I am a believer in this. Praise God. So you think about some things I've been talking about. Any questions, write us, call us. Just get with God on this subject and break through the old demonic wall of unbelief, and you'll be set free. And I'll see you next broadcast.